We got plenty of Twinkies, and we got plenty of Twinkies and a little while Ecto Cooler with a cup and a half of sugar in it, so.
I think we'll be okay.
What about the Twinkie?
What about the Twinkie? okay, so yeah, the last session we left off, you guys had just punched a demon in the face and taken care of that family.
Taking care of business.
Where we left off, you are still in Mr. Shu's restaurant downstairs from where he lives, eating up all the food and everything. Okay, so you guys are still in there, still eating some nice Vietnamese food, and Nina had called and said that the Science Center called.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think the last session before that, you wanted to send all the information to the Ghostbusters in New York.
Yes.
And have them contact you. So that's going to happen later, but whatever. So when you guys, you pack it up, you get in the car, and on the way, Nina has either through the phone or through the radio explains. The person who called from the Science Center is head of security. His name is Jay Marshall, and he should be waiting for you when you guys show up. So sure enough, you guys pull in, you walk up. It's kind of quiet, like it's closed down for the day for some reason. And as you guys approach, there's like a security team there, and one of the men approaches you and introduces himself as Jay Marshall. He's like, "Hey guys, all right, glad you could make it. We've been having some weird things happening. Basically, we've had a lot of deliveries here today, and I'm holding them all out until you guys can clear up what's happening out on the inside. I don't want to put anything more back there, because this all got started when we started bringing in new things for a new exhibit. I first noticed something was wrong earlier today when I came into work, and I noticed we have this setup of these suits of armor from like the Crusades, like English knights. They looked altered. They looked funny to me, and like they looked like they'd moved around in their glass casings. So I went to review the security tapes from last night, and I noticed that they were moving around. They'd actually gotten out of their cases and were roaming the entire Science Center looking for something. And just to see how long this was going on for, I checked the security tapes every night for the night before, and it's been getting worse over the past few weeks.
Have they been going around a specific area?
I mean, not that I can tell. If you guys want to show you, he's like, "I'll just take you inside and I'll show you." So he takes you inside and where like the security room, where there's like lots of little monitors and TVs and everything. And he pulls up cues up like a videotape or whatever, and he puts it in. And he's like, "This is last night." And he rewinds the tape and he shows you it's like 11:59. And as it clicks over to like to midnight, these suits of armor come to life and they just open the glass casings that they're in and they just start moving around. One of them, there's three of them. One of them has like a broadsword. One of them has like a mace. And the other has a regular sword and a shield. Sometimes they're together, sometimes they split up, and they're just roaming this entire thing, checking doors and stuff. They're just kind of looking around, and you can't really get a sense of like if they're looking for something or if they're just looking to get out or what the deal is. But they're very active, like they're active all night. But then as the night wears on, you can fast forward, you can see that they start to slow down. Then before sun comes up, they just climb back into their glass cases and then it closes. So he says, "All right," and this is that. Like,
sounds like you guys are having a few crazy nights.
he shows you, he's like, "Now here's this been happening every night, but let me show you from like a week ago." So he shows you like a week ago and it wasn't as bad. Like they wake up, they sort of look around, but they're not as active. And then he's like, "Now I've gone back as far as I can go and this is the earliest thing I can see, and it's about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And all it is is, you know, the camera angle is on these three glass cases with the knights, and you see like a flash of light, which you, Josh, would recognize as an energy pulse."
Ah.
And one of the knights...
That's an energy pulse.
Yes. Yeah. And one of the knights just turns his head. But that's it for the whole night. So he says, "Yeah, as you can see, this is very strange. I don't want to bring in any more. We have a lot of artifacts coming in from some of the new exhibits that we're starting up. I'm not going to bring in anything else that could be of any value until we sort this out, because they're moving stuff around. They've been pushing things around. I'm just not taking a risk. So, yeah, whatever you guys can tell me, I'd be grateful."
"Before we do anything, you should probably sign this waiver."
Okay. he takes it and he signs it. And he's just like...
"Is it not nighttime yet? Is it still daytime?"
"It's still daytime. This is like afternoon."
"Okay, well, can we tell him to clear out expensive stuff? Whatever he...
Yeah, he says, "I'm going to leave everything that was normally in there, but we've had a lot of other stuff come in. I'm keeping it out of the Science Center until, like, I mean, and you can look, there's, like, before you, like, in the, like, the back loading dock area where, like, security would be, there's lots of large crates of, like, other artifacts and stuff like that. But he says, "Don't worry, I'm going to keep these all here. We're not bringing them inside the Science Center until you guys give us the all clear for what this is."
"Well, it's still daytime. Do you mind if we, like, take a look around?"
He says, "Please, go ahead." Yeah. Okay. When you're looking at the tapes and everything, and it's syncing up, like, as far as the pulses that are happening, and you're thinking about some of the other artifacts that are here for other exhibits, he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, when this Aztec exhibit was coming in, the old exhibits were leaving. The exhibits that we had before this was, like, a history of Florida exhibits, and I can bring you, like, show you, like, the manifest of, like, what all was there for that, and when you look at that, you see very familiar things. Like, you see the shovel from the Orange Grove that was on display here. That was here during the first couple pulses. You also notice stuff from Fort Christmas that ended up going to Fort Christmas that was on loan from Fort Christmas was there. Pretty much everything starts lining up. You also notice that when they had this, like, they had their History of Florida exhibit was now that's leaving, they're shoving it out. Everything that's coming in is, like, just an archaeology exhibit based on archaeology in different parts of the world. So you have a small Egyptian section, which the mummy was on loan to Ripley's, believe it or not, and it's going to be brought back here to be on display. It was here before it was sent there, which is, you're thinking, this is why these pulses each time, they've been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And on top of that, there's also, like, so there was an Egyptian exhibit with, like, a sphinx and the mummy that was there, and there was the Florida exhibit. Yeah, well, that's part of, like, the Florida exhibit and everything else like that. Like, all of these artifacts that you guys have come across, with the exception of the demon and the tooth, have all been at the Science Center at some point. So that's
TV guide that was there.
That was not there. That was not there. But you do know that with the pulse that comes out, with each pulse, like, the first one was kind of weak. Things that were very high in PKE energy that just need a little bit to get tipped off to become full-blown ghosts, that first one's the one that did it. And then the second one's more powerful, so things that maybe wouldn't, that'd be more dormant, start waking up. And with this last one that's been very strong, so things that are normally very dormant have no chance of waking up, that thing comes up.
Right.
Yeah.
Dog and cats living together.
You know, so that happened. So you guys were very much aware that this is kind of the center thing of why this is happening.
I'm going to the Mesoamerican exhibit.
Before that, do you want to scan the crates that are outside?
Yeah, okay.
Because maybe that's what they're looking for.
I'm going to use my brains.
Is around, but not close enough.
And he also says, if you guys have any questions about any of the exhibits or anything, just let me know.
Is there a ghost sighting? Yeah.
You're going to do your PKA? You're going to scan? So just tell me what you're trying to scan. Just the exhibits that are on the loading dock?
Yeah, exhibits on the loading dock. Just getting a feel if there's anything new that's coming in that may be triggering.
Yeah, okay. You scan the exhibits on the loading dock, and you're getting pretty heavy readings.
And they're from?
These crates? You can ask. And Jay's like, oh, this is a bunch of exhibits from a bunch of different places, but the main ones that we have coming in are coming up from a dig in Mexico for an Aztec exhibit that we're starting up.
I wish to see more of the Aztec exhibit.
He's like, well, we have more of them inside, but they're not on display yet. Like, the exhibit hasn't been public yet. He says, all right, well, I mean, if you want me to take you guys to some of the artifacts that we have of the Aztec exhibit.
I need to know if there's any spectral tigers running around here.
He's like, okay, whatever.
So, so we know a crate here is already pulsing energy.
There's a few, yeah.
It's like, can we take a look at the pieces? Is that...
So you want me to open them?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I guess so. I mean, so he just calls in a couple other guys just to get these crowbars, and they just pry open these, you know, huge wooden crates or whatever. You have a few, like, in fact, most of them are not from the Aztec dig. Like, a lot of them are just from other places. Like, there's a few more from, like, that would be, like, medieval time, like, Old England type stuff to do with, like, knights from the Crusades and whatnot. But the ones that are Aztec in nature, there's only one. And the one that's there, which you're getting the strong reading from, is a box. Like, it's like a stone chest that's probably about like this.
It's like a foot and a half, 2 feet long, a foot high.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Like, 2 feet long, maybe like a foot high. It seems very heavy.
Does the chest open?
He's like, the guy, the Jay, who's there, he's just a security guy. He's like, I don't know, but I can call, like, my boss and have the Quinn in here and talk to you about that. I don't really want to touch anything, if you understand, you know, where I'm coming from.
Based on the look of the chest, are there any, like, runes and writing and pictures and pictographs and stuff like that? Can I make an occult roll, see if
that means anything to me? You're able to recognize on this stone chest, certain figures stick out as gods in the Aztec world. Like, you may not know their names specifically, but you're noticing that it is of religious importance. Okay. There's no like hieroglyphics of a story. It's more of like an official seal, in that sort of way, with multiple signatures on it, if you will.
Okay.
Of Itzcoatl?
Yeah.
As far as you would know, you wouldn't be sure, because Itzcoatl is like, even among the occult experts would be very hard and very rare to recognize, but you do see a couple that you don't recognize.
Okay.
So you think that, you know, as far as you know, you can make an educated guess that
okay.
it might be that.
Can I go into, can I consult the Spades catalog, the mobile version?
Yeah, if you want, yeah, if you want to go ahead. I mean,
there's an app for that.
Yeah, there's an app for that.
Can I also take a picture and email it to Mr. Book?
Yeah, if you want to do that, or you can even send it to the Ghostbusters in New York, if you will, because you already sent them all the information that you've been working with. So whatever you want to, you know, whoever you want to send it to.
I would like to get permission from his boss to open it.
Okay, he's like,
but I mean, we'll wait until we get a little bit more information. But we'd like to.
Yeah, he's like, all right. In the meantime, if you guys want to look around, I'm gonna call my boss and I'm gonna find out everything about this stuff so I can relay that information to you.
I want to wear the suit of armor.
The living suit of armor.
I'm just gonna be in the armor punching himself.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like end of Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
So did you guys want to stick around? Or
I
you want to investigate?
What I want to do is does my PK being get stronger if I go into the science center? I want to follow.
Usually you want to take another just general scan of like
yeah,
what else is going on.
I
want
to follow the trail because there has to be.
Can I put on the ecto goggles and look mm-hmm. at the chest? See if
do you have like, ecto goggles?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you can do that, you don't even have to. I mean, I don't think you have to roll for it anyway. You would see that it is glowing. It does. It's not really glowing very strongly though. But he's getting very strong readings.
Okay.
Well, maybe we should split right up spot. And have half of us hit the area where the medieval guys are. And is there actually a Aztec exhibit? Like, is there an area where they've started working on?
There's an area where they've started, but there's nothing really that much out there. But I can lead you guys to that.
I want to follow the ectoplasmic trail, where it's thickest.
So then who wants to stick around checking out the box and who wants to go check out the exhibit?
I guess I'll stay with the box.
I'll head in.
You got a walkie?
We'll stick with the box.
I've got a walkie.
Okay, so then you three.
Hold on.
I've got a walkie.
So it's Poole, Briggs, and Bjornstad are going to go check out the exhibits. Do you want to go check out the knight exhibit, where the knights are, or you want to check out the Aztec stuff?
I
want to
go wherever the PK is.
Okay,
Marshall
comes in and he opens up the doors to go into the science center. It's all empty. It closed down. If you want to give me a standard brains, if you want to sweep the area to see where the PK is the strongest.
18? Yeah,
18. 18? It's strong throughout this entire building. Okay. Like, this would worry you a little bit.
This is a place of science, goddammit.
Yeah.
I am cross and enraged right now.
Like, you're getting, like, this entire building, you're getting, like, a reading of, like, a class 5.
Well, if it's all over the place, why don't we just...
Well, where, I mean,
am
I getting a particular strong reading in a particular direction where I can just go...
It's very hard to tell because it's strong everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, well, I'll take you to the night. So he takes you there. And it's like the beginning of their building this exhibit. The centerpiece would be like these three knights in suits of armor. They have like, you know, a coat of arms and like tapestries and other things from like the Crusades era. And he's like, yeah, these were dug up, you know, a while back. They're supposed to date back to like the Third Crusade or something like that. Like they were under King Richard.
So 13th.
Yeah. So it's like 11, the 1180s, early 1190s or whatever. So anyway, So what do you want to do? It's like you can see them there. Like they're not moving.
When is when did the knights start walking around? You said at nighttime.
Well, right now they're only walking around at night. They started moving a few weeks ago, but last night was where it got me really worried. Was when I noticed even in the day that something was off. Mm. So, yeah.
Can I open up the glass?
Yeah.
And approach the knight.
Yeah.
I just want to poke it right here.
It doesn't do anything.
Can I pull its helmet off?
The helmet's in your hands.
And then I look down inside.
There's nothing inside.
And I put my PKE down there.
If you want, okay, then give me another brains roll. You get a class 5 reading.
I put the helmet on.
On your head? Okay, you put the helmet on. Yeah, the helmet's on your head. Well, I'll say when you put the helmet on, you hear, like, whispering, like, spiritual whisperings. Taking it off.
Maybe we should disarm them while they're not moving.
Yes, yeah, so let's
good
take the sword.
Idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna go ahead and try and grab the two-handed broadsword out of the knight, whichever knight has the sword.
Okay, I'll stop there. I'm gonna cut from there to come back to you guys. I'm gonna cut back to you guys at the box. Was there anything else you wanted to do, or do you just want to wait to hear?
I just want to wait for any news.
Okay, I'll say in the meantime, after security guard Jay, after he explained this to you guys, and he's like, all right, you guys, I'm going to go check on them. He's going to go back. He's going to make a phone call. He's going to come back to you guys, and he's going to say, okay, my boss explained to me a little bit more of this. He says he'd really prefer if he didn't open anything unless he wants to have, like, curators come in and look at this stuff. I don't even know if you can open it. He told me this was supposed to be like a lockbox. Like, it's not supposed to be able to be opened. Like, it's sealed.
Wasn't that the idea of lockboxes that you're supposed to only somebody's supposed to be able to open it. Like,
oh, that somebody ain't me.
This is gonna be like an Aztec time capsule. There's gonna be like a little like fifth grader's like heart of the future, like little note written on like.
It's like
it'll be like ancient to a human heart.
How much science is there in the future? Like, I hope it's a
like
lot.
Cocoa
it's
like, beans.
Do you guys still have brain surgery? We do. Gonna go be sacrificed tomorrow. Hope everything is good.
I'll miss the world. Hope you're taking care of it.
Yeah.
Like, watch out for those jaguars that come around every 400 or 500 years.
So yeah, he's like, okay, he just prefer you didn't open it, but he says you can move it around, you can scan it all you want, but he'd rather have like the archaeologists who dug it up who are supposed to be coming here. They're supposed to open it.
When?
Probably like a week when the exhibit's supposed to open up officially.
Goodness. Okay, well, I guess we can probably go inside, because if we can't open it, there's no, the boss is...
Yeah, he's like, you're welcome to, look at anything else, but yeah, they're inside. He points you in the direction of where the knights are.
Okay.
Now, cutting back to you guys of the knights, now, you wanted to...
Go ahead and try and take the broadsword.
Okay, he's holding like this, so we want to... He's holding with both hands like this, so you're just going to just try and just peel it and...
I guess, yeah, okay. Just pull at the fingers.
Okay,
the,
when you pull,
the gauntlet.
When you pull, like, a hand free... And you go to it and just, because it's just held together by, like, string at this point, for display purposes. But when you go try to pull the other one, like, you get, like, a couple fingers off, then it just closes again. It just holds it.
I see that. I put the helmet back on.
You really put the helmet back on?
I put the helmet back, because I want to hear what they're saying.
Okay, you can't tell what's being said.
Can I go below?
It doesn't react to you.
Tether,
Slime it? Slime okay. Tether it out of there?
Yeah. Slime tether
out of that grip?
Away.
Yeah.
Do that with hold that on, well, maybe, like... I don't know, maybe wait till they get here.
They're here now, they saw that happen.
Right. Maybe if you net the suit back, that way it can't move forward, and then tether the weapon away.
I have a proton pack.
I have a blow.
But it's,
oh, you do, that's what I want to
probably destroy,
But so maybe one of you net, and the other try and tether away the weapons.
Well, all I'm saying is, he signed the waiver.
Let's just melt it down to slag.
Yeah. But you do know that these aren't. He did tell you before that these are not reproduction. These are actual suits that were like dug up. So it's like this is
not destroy these.
It'd be, as you say, as they're on, it's on your head.
Look, yeah, I'm just wearing it as it should be.
Who died in this?
Are you a demon?
If you died in here, be gone. It's not your helmet anymore.
Get out! It's my helmet now.
So you guys want to try and slime tether out of there?
Yeah.
That's 10. With 10? Yeah, I'll say you hit it. You definitely, you can slam it. I guess you're going to, to the ground or whatever, try and slam the sword out of its hand.
Yeah.
It holds on pretty tight. Let me roll for the muscles. Yeah, it holds on to it, and that slime tether just, it's getting real, it's getting stretched, because it's trying to pull itself, together or whatever, and it's going really strong, but it just snaps under the weight. It cannot pull the thing out of this guy's hands. Is this the same one that you took the helmet off of?
Yeah.
Okay. The one with the broadsword.
Is it a great helm or is it like a?
It's a full faced like.
Oh, so it's
the pointy one.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yes, I'm so happy I'm wearing this right now.
Like Scooby Doo Knight.
Yeah, exactly.
I am not pulling this off, but I want to go to the other one, and I want to steal his boots.
It just falls apart.
It's not gonna fall apart if you take away the boots. The torso and the arms are kind of held together by special wiring, purposes.
Okay, okay.
But the boots are just.
I picture you just like pulling it away and it just like.
No. Which one you want to go? You want to open up the one with the mace or the one with the sword and shield?
Sword and shield. I'm going to take its boots out and put those boots on.
All right.
Okay. If I try to take the shield from the ghost that has the sword and shield, does it come off?
No, he's like
heavy grift on it. Okay.
Remember the beginning of Young Frankenstein where they're trying to take the book away from Frankenstein and he's just like, it's like,
okay.
It's a lot like that, yeah.
Alright.
Maybe if I climb in the armor.
I say, let Briggs put on the armor and we'll slime the shit out of him.
Alright, yeah, you want to try and climb in one of them?
Yes.
Okay, which one? Because you got one without a head and you got one without boots.
Put the boots back on the other one.
Okay, and then I'll hop into the other armor suit, the first one.
Alright, you can't exactly just hop in it, but like,
That's a time to
Yeah, you're not.
He dives into it like both.
That's literally a picture.
I was like, you're not Gordon Freeman in the beginning of Half-Life. You just step into a suit and then you're like, it's part of you. Like you have to take it out of the glass case and piece by piece.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to start doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want? Just tell me how you want to grab this thing and how you.
Oh well, I'm still wearing the helmet and I want to get the cuirass first, and then of course the pauldrons and then the arms.
So you just want to start by grabbing. Like
pieces.
The torso, like the cuirass or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is all tied together with like like a wire.
Okay.
You know, like a heavy cable wire. So if you're gonna grab it, you start to sort of like lift it off of the braces that it's standing on, and just, you know, kind of junk. It's making like clanking noises because it's all tied together, and you're trying to lift it up, so it's, you know, bumping into the shoulders and everything like that. But when you finally lift it off of like the braces that are holding it, it stands like on its own, like pulling the, you know, all the cables tight. So it's no longer like a loose thing of armor. Now it's like standing on its own, and it brings the sword up like this, right in front of its face.
Riggs.
Like,
with
and I still have his helmet on.
Yeah.
Hi.
You said, this is what you want to say, hi?
And
like,
I want to poke it in the chest.
I back away.
Yeah.
Poke it in the Looney Tunes back away very quickly.
If you poke it, it takes a hand and it shoves you down onto the ground.
Well, I aim my proton pack at it and they all bring it back away.
Okay, I get away. But I still have his helmet on.
Yeah, if you do, alright, because you have his helmet on and you shove, and he shoved you to the ground, so you just sort of spill onto the ground. So he's gonna take his sword, he puts it down, and he just stomps, clanks over to on top of you, and he goes to reach for his helmet on your head. He goes to grab it, put it back on his. So he stands up and you wanna slime net him?
Yeah.
Okay, what'd you get?
14, 16.
16?
Yeah.
You definitely hit him.
That beats it. Tiny net is a sentence.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You net him and it just woof, it comes around it, but just, these pieces of armor just like straight through it, just comes right through it. He doesn't make a move to attack really. He just sort of like, and he just turns and he's looking at you guys. And then he turns and he looks at one of the other suits of armor. Like let's say it's one with a sword and shield, and just boom, it opens up the glass case and it just lifts itself off of the braces and it steps down and it comes to him and he looked to the other one and the other one with the mace, same thing. He opens up, just opens up the glass case and it steps down and he's got his mace.
Do they like?
Okay, well then the one with the broadsword, mm-hmm, looks like he's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna slime him.
You gonna slime him?
Just straight up, all regular right, slime.
So you slime him and he's just like, he just sort of gets knocked back. And he's just like, oh man, he's like looking at all this stuff on him.
Yeah, it's pretty gross, huh?
Yeah, and the knight with the mace starts swinging. Mace.
You mean a Morningstar?
Is it Morningstar? Thank you.
Because there's also, yeah, well, there's a mace. He could swing the mace bad, like a little.
Yeah, so the, he's got the kind of the chain on, so it's the Morningstar. Yeah. So we'll say it's like, yeah, the Morningstar.
I'm gonna pose on the one with the mace.
just in the chest or whatever? Just like.
In the chest, you might knock him down.
Eleven? Yeah, you totally hit him. So anyway, yeah, you shoot a boson dart, it knocks this dude back onto just. He just skids across like the floor or whatever. Main crossword, the cuirass, I believe, is a caved. Yeah, cuirass. Thank you. He's just sort of caved in a little bit with a big black sword mark on it. And he's like smoking a little bit, and he's got thrown for a loop. So he's sort of like, so he gets up, one with the shield and sword. He's gonna charge you and just try to bash you down with the shield, just like this. That's 32 with a ghost die. Yeah, you go down. It's like, hello. I mean, like he. Oh, jeez. Okay. He knocks you down. You're gonna have to give me 3 trait points or 10 brownie points.
I really want a helmet.
Really? You haven't mentioned it yet.
I also want the rest of the armor just to wear to every bus we go to.
I'll take the brownie points.
Just, you know, like,
now if you're gonna use the brownie points, he nails you with this shield. You just have to explain why it doesn't hurt you. Just like, he just wham, and he just hits you, and you go flying. So how does it not cause you to lose moves or anything like that? Like, how does it cause you not really get hurt?
So they've got kind of like, it's like a medieval display?
Yeah, it's like a whole, like, Crusades medieval display, and he just bashed you with a shield while he's got his sword back.
He bashed me with a shield, mm-hmm, and I tumbled backwards over a rope into a medieval farm set, into a bale of hay.
Okay, all right, in that case, 5 brownie points. Only spend 5, okay, in that case, only spend 5 brownie points.
Okay.
It's like the Trogdor set, like it's like the peasant on fire.
If not, they will be.
If you stay there long enough, they'll forget you're there.
So he bumps you. Yeah, you land into a thing of hay, like Assassin's Creed style, just into a thing of hay. And so we'll say at this point, the one with the mace, who's been blasted like across, so he comes back up and he joins these other two guys, and he just sort of is swinging it, not quite as intense, but just sort of like they're watching you guys very carefully.
What? These guys are from the Crusades.
Yes.
You know, honestly, you know what we should do? Back away. But so, yeah, I think we should just back away and just let them and follow them and see what they're after.
They're after beating the shit out of us.
But no, like, we could just, like, back off into it and then just follow them and see what they're after. I think that would be better than just taking them out now and have no idea what they may have been after.
That was pretty much the plan from the get-go before we started.
All right, you want to do that? You just want to see what happens?
Yeah.
Okay, if you...
That's a great idea, Adam. I'm glad that you did that instead of start poking and pulling at stuff because that may have upset them.
So if,
Well, I don't think I upset them.
To be fair, Mike did blast one.
He had it coming.
He knows what he did.
So if you guys just sort of like take a step back, you know, and just sort of like want to see what they do, the one eventually he just stops swinging that mace, Morningstar, and while keeping their eyes on you guys, they just start to sort of walk down a hallway together. They're just like they all start leaving this exhibit, and start looking around at their exhibits. And after they made a good distance away, they just turn their backs on you and they're not looking at you, and they just start looking around. They just start making their rounds from what you guys would see.
They're from the Crusades. Can we tell which country?
Yeah, this is from England. Like they're from the.
So
like,
they had the St. George.
Yeah. What's his name? Jay told you like he
That's
heard,
right. That's
they
right.
they served under like King Richard in the Crusades.
But they said they had a St. George's cross.
Yeah, they got the cross on. They are Crusaders.
I'm gonna follow the one where I took his helmet because I want his helmet.
The main guy with the
cross. As far as I'm concerned, that's my helmet now.
All right. Do you guys want to just start following him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Science Center would disagree.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, whatever.
They signed the waiver. We can steal whatever we want.
You guys start following. They're just sort of clinking around and just like looking around each hallway. They're checking doors. The doors are kind of locked and everything like that. They notice you guys are coming up like safe enough distance, far away. They just keeping like an eye on you. Like they're not really scared, but they're almost like annoyed. And they just kind of they sort of ignore you and they just keep moving on, looking around.
Can I call ahead and I go, what ho, brothers? What for what are you looking?
If you dress them like that, yeah. They stop and they look up. They look at each other and then they approach. And they're like looking amongst themselves, like they can't really communicate even amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. But the main broadsword guy, he puts his broadsword to his side and he just does this. He holds up four fingers.
Four things.
He just emphasizes this.
Okay. First word.
Yeah, first word.
No, it's like...
Sounds like...
He's confused by what you're saying.
Because he can understand English, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll say, are you looking for four things?
He stops and he points to the one knight with the mace, is this, himself, and the shield and sword.
Yes.
And he says, four.
Yeah, you're knights. No, there's
They're
only three
They're looking for the
of
fourth
you.
Knight.
No, there's only three of you.
It's like...
No, that's three.
He nods, but he's pointing. He's doing
and
this.
I point to the knight to his left. Uh-huh. I hold up one finger. Uh-huh. The knight, him in front of me, another finger, and the other knight. And I go three. That's this many. You've got it wrong.
And he just leans back, and he says, "Yes, one." He's pointing to himself, and he's looking for the fourth.
There's got to be another suit of armor, probably, in the packaging and whatnot that's come in, because there was more stuff in stuff from Europe.
That's true.
There's probably one in there.
So
let's be fair, this was a separate call from us looking for the obsidian serpent. We literally just coincidentally got a phone call from the Science Center.
So I guess I'll say, please wait here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back.
Oh, I can
very
shortly. I'll hang out with him.
Okay, yeah. He just nods like this.
He waits. He bows.
He bows slightly, yes. And so he just... pulls onto a sword and they just sort of stand there, arms folded, just waiting patiently.
Okay. And then we basically go back outside the crates.
Can I
So just all of you guys want to go, or just like what, the two of you?
I'm just going to stay with the armor.
You're going to stay with them regardless.
Can someone with a slime blower stay with Briggs?
Is Blake's that one? Yeah, alright, so Bjornstad
and
Briggs. Just
so he gets out of hand, you can just be like, "Ptoom." Just net him
and by out of hand, you mean slime tether Briggs away from
yes,
the
yes, yes, so I meant literally net Briggs.
So, okay,
why
so...
Why would you ever do that?
So the three, so three
like
of you guys...
It's going to be like Sixth Sense, it's just going to turn out that LaForge was the fourth knight the whole time.
It's like, you were the ghost they kept around.
My ancestors are French, so it's not going to be me.
Yeah, it's like, don't tell them your name's LaForge.
I have a lot of French ancestors.
So yeah, the three of you guys head back, and I guess you talk to Jay, he's there, and he's just like, yeah, what do you guys need? So, what's up?
Like, is there another suit of armor?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty badly damaged, it's not, like, as clean, and we weren't able to restore it as much as the other ones, but yeah, I think we got one.
Can we see it?
He's like, yeah, I guess so. So, like, he leads you off, into, like, a side room, or, like, where they'd be putting, you would see this as a room where they would be putting together things for before putting them on display for the exhibits. And there's like a metal shelf, and you know, on like a nice padded little platform. There's a helmet here. You know, the gauntlets are here. All the different pieces are all spread out all over this shelf.
Oh, we gotta get these guys together.
But yeah, you see all the pieces, and it's like, you know, the time hasn't been very kind to this set of armor. It's very rusty. It's very,
you know, it was
like
this.
Do you mind? Is there any way we could like move these? Are we allowed to move these at all?
He's like, I don't have permission, but yes. He's like, as long as you guys just be careful with it, I think we can.
I'm sure it doesn't look as bad as the one that got blasted with the boson dart.
He's
so,
like, what?
nothing.
You know what pissed Briggs off so much is if we just started putting the armor on one of us. It had to walk up. It doesn't look like it's doing it itself.
So he brings
up. I look at the armor through the goggles. Does it have any reading?
There is a very slight glow. Very slight.
Slight glow.
Yeah.
Well, if I start grabbing pieces of armor, if I grab like the helmet and the cuirass, if I put them together, what happens? It's like, does...
It doesn't stick together, if that's what you mean. Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess we all just get armful of pieces.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, you gotta be careful. They're very delicate. Yeah, but yeah. So anyway, so if you bring the pieces back, and the knights are standing there, and they're like, they perk up when they see that you have their brother.
What do we do? Set it on the ground, just gently.
Okay, do you want to set it up like in order?
Yeah, or
in the ass backwards. I want his legs come out of his ears.
So you lay it down, and like they kneel down by it, and they're like looking over it, and they're trying to rouse it, like trying to wake it up, but it's not responding.
I think who are they? Starman? They're gonna fucking.
Well, no, they're not. You know, they're not using powers. No. They're trying to hey, buddy, you know, like, come on, you know, get up, like, but it's not responding.
There wasn't a weapon included with this set of armor, was there?
Not with this one, no. Hmm. Now, I may not have made it clear before, but when Marshall was showing you the security tapes, you notice the three of them only started having activity when that first PKE pulse came through, but it was a few weeks ago. And you don't remember a PKE pulse from a few weeks ago. You remember one from last night, but that's when things got really started to pick up and things really got crazy.
Hmm. So there wasn't a PKE pulse that we felt a few weeks ago.
Right. And you definitely know that because you saw it on the video screen.
Yeah. But it did happen.
Yeah.
These guys started moving after PKE pulse a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. A pretty weak one at that.
And we're going to leave them with them. Can we talk to Marshall? Or if any new exhibits got added a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah,
Or did you get a visit from a Vietnamese family?
you if you want to go talk to him, yeah, the knights, they're just sort of puzzled. You know, they're looking down at him, and they're just like, okay, well, you know, like they can't really talk to each other even, but they're trying to figure out what to do. So it's laying down. You guys want to go talk to Marshall. He says, well, let me pull up the records. Let me take a look. So he checks out the time compared to the security camera footage. He's like, well, the night that first thing happened, we had just gotten the first pieces of the Aztec exhibit.
Where are those pieces?
We have four pieces. Four of the main pieces are in place, back being prepared. I mean, no one's back there now. We have the fifth piece here that just came in today, but I'm not moving it in. And we have a sixth piece on the way, actually, which should arrive later today. But I think the first of those four pieces came in that day.
Like, we need to take a look at that exhibit.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. All right, sure. So he leads you guys past where, you know, like, the Crusades exhibit is. And he leads you to, like, this Aztec exhibit. It's not completed by any stretch. He leads you past that to, like, another back door to, like, an employee area or whatever. And it's, like, another room, like a preparation room, like the ones that were for the knights. But in this preparation room, there are, like, four large crates. Probably, I would say, almost, like, 5 feet tall. And one of them is open. And inside is a statue. And it's, like, a statue of, like, an Aztec human figure. Seems like a lot of feather headdress, like an important looking figure. And he's like, yeah, this is so this was the first one that came in. They were preparing it. They're gonna prepare the next few. The next few came in sequence as this dig in Mexico is sending them, and this is the order we got them in. And there's the fifth one that just came in this morning, and the sixth one's coming in later today.
Is it made of jade?
He's like, I don't know. He's like, we didn't get it yet.
Well, I mean, we should be able to tell by looking at it. Jade's very...
Oh, no, you mean the statue in front of you?
Yeah.
No, the statue is made of stone. It's made of stone.
Okay. Can we go and get these other three crates open?
He's like, I mean, yeah, I guess so. Just, you know, just don't destroy anything. So, in fact, he just goes and he picks up a crowbar.
So, me with my proton pack ready just to fire out all
the... Well, he opens up the other three crates just and, you know, the main things fall down. You can see these are other statues look very similar to the first one. They're human figures.
Hmm.
Sort of like neon.
Goggle.
Sort of like on a one. They are glowing pretty strongly. More so than any of the knights.
Well, look, we got Larry, Curly, Mo, and I believe this one's Shemp.
Yeah, so like they're all in there. They're not doing anything, but they are glowing very strongly.
I think we bring an ice to them.
Yeah. Bring an ice to them? You want to lead them? You want to go get them? Like,
yeah.
Want to bring them in?
I'll find the Templars. Not Templars, but the Crusader's banner, the St. George Cross, is there one, like a flag?
I mean, yeah, let's say there's a flag there, yeah.
Okay, and I'm gonna get that, and I'm going to...
You're gonna be the standard bearer?
I'll be the standard bearer for him.
You just wanna wave him in?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and gather up, like, half of the parts of the knights.
I'll make a very marching walk, as I
well, they make sure that they make sure that you're lifting him up all right, and once you got the piece, and you still lead him, so yeah, they fall even there, yeah. So anyway, you lead them in there, and they're just sort of, like, looking around, like, all right. If you set the pieces of that suit of armor down, yeah, it glows just slightly more when you have it in proximity with these four statues. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit more,
yeah.
If we slime the suit of armor, positively charged, I mean, it worked to make a toaster dance.
That's true.
It did more than that.
Yeah. It did more than make a toaster dance, yeah. It's very true.
Look, anybody got a...
A jukebox. You got in the beach kit. You got your jukebox.
Some Hall and Oates.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Just do exactly that.
We're gonna go out. Go get the beach kit. I'm gonna trade my goggles.
Okay.
So where's the beach kit?
It's in the Ecto One.
And I'm gonna set the jukebox down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna play "You Make My Dreams Come True" by Hall and Oates.
Okay.
And I'm gonna slime.
This is the
suit of armor. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're definitely getting a reaction. It just kind of starts, not dancing, but it is, like, moving. Like, you're pumping essence into this thing. Like, this is definitely, it's reacting.
I started singing along and snapping my fingers.
Yeah, it's like...
It's for dancing.
Yeah, it's like, it's, the three knights that are there, just their heads are swiveling, looking at each other, like, what is going on? But, it's like a dying patient, and it's struggling to hang on. Like, it is struggling to break through, and the mood is helping, but just it's not quite over the edge just enough. Like, there's something's not pushing just over the edge.
You know,
we need that box
what do
from
we
outside,
need?
Do we?
Well, you do know, to reiterate, they bring in one statue. That's the first wave went through. One starts turning its head. And as they brought in number two, number three, and number four, now you got all three knights running around.
I guess let's cart that one in.
But
the box.
The fourth statue is
mm-hmm.
in the room, right?
Yes.
Okay.
These four statues are really close together already,
okay.
And I'm imagining you laid it like right in front of them.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can't really get them any closer.
Is the box heavy?
It's on rollers. You can roll it in if you
okay.
want.
I think that the combination of the...
Because the box is like, you know, like it's like that big or whatever, like the stone lock box. It's on like a cart to roll it in.
Mm-hmm.
So you could roll it in.
The combination of the artifacts is what's creating the pulse, not necessarily one per knight. It's just... Each wave is powerful enough to make more and more happen, which is why the first wave
is
just the knight moved a little bit. That's it.
I know, you gotta be careful.
So, let's go.
So who wants to go grab the box and roll it on in here?
Is it
on a cart. Yeah, you
okay,
can roll
okay,
it.
So we can move it. All right, I guess I'll head out there.
It'll take one or two, but that's, you know.
All right, breaks, just come with me.
Okay,
All right, so you guys go. You start wheeling it over. Again, I have to emphasize how heavy this thing is. You're rolling it closer, and you hear... like a humming start as like the closer you get to the others, which you know you kind of expect, you know. So you roll it in, you open the door, you bring it in there, and just as you get it in like close to where everything else is, just of another large PKE pulse just and you can see it now. Like this is like a wall of energy that just in a circle just completely goes through the walls, it goes through everything. It almost knocks you over because you're at like ground zero in this thing.
Just work it into my dance.
Yeah, it's like,
what does it taste like?
Doesn't taste like anything. This thing
just tastes purple.
So it just goes completely through everybody. Papers kind of flutter around and like land and everything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much more work we just made for ourselves.
Well, yeah. So like that all happens. Marshall's there and he's sort of like, what the hell? Like he's completely freaked out. But sure enough, after it kind of settles down, this suit of armor that's on the ground, it kind of gets more solid. And it's able to finally, because it's, you know, still dripping and slimy and everything like that, and the music's playing everything else, it gets up, and it just kind of is just, like, standing there, and it sees the other three suits of armor, and they go over, and they just sort of, like, give it a handshake and give it a pat on the back, like it's a long-lost, like,
bro
friend.
Fist.
Yeah, exactly, like, the medieval bro fist, basically, is what they're giving it.
You feel bad for shooting him.
I don't. I really don't.
It was self-defense at the time. You didn't know what was going on. So, yeah, they get together like this, and they're just like, oh, they're happy to see each other.
They got the band back together.
So, the head knight, like with the broadsword, he like bows to you guys, and he, in a way of saying like thank you, and then he like they lead their friend because he's still kind of clanky and kind of, you know, like rusted and stuff like that. So they lead him away or whatever, and they try to climb back up onto, you know, their things to sort of like, I guess, go to sleep or whatever, and they go to climb in there, and the other guy, there's like a fourth platform there, but you know, what was supposed to be for the other night, but there's no bracers there or anything because he wasn't going to be put together. He just sort of sits on that and just gets clumped. You know, sort of, the essence leaves him as he just sort of clumps, and he sits there in a clump, and the other three are just sort of sitting there, back in their glass case the way it was when you first found them.
Okay. I put on my goggles. Are they glowing anymore?
They're being, like, toned down. Like, after the pulse happened, you could see that they were much more strong. Like, you know, because that thing just... Everything gets stronger when that thing came through. So, but it's like they're stronger than when you first saw them. But you can see like it's slowly kind of flickering out. It doesn't seem like it's going to go out entirely. But you think, I mean, you would be led to believe that this is pretty good for now. Like this is, they're pretty much been dealt with.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Marshall's like, all right. Well, what do you guys think? Is this? Are they going to bug us anymore?
Like well, we think you've got bigger problems.
Okay. Yeah. He's like, so what do you mean? Like, what do we need to do to prevent something like this from happening again?
Well, I think we may have somehow made it worse just by getting all these artifacts together. We think you solved your night problem, but shit's about to get real. So, look, it's probably a really bad idea to have all these artifacts in the room together, and that will be probably our official word on that.
Do you want us to move, like, the knights out of here and everything like that? Like,
it's not the knights. The knights aren't the problem. Uh-huh. It's the statues and that lockbox.
Okay. And whatever is on its way.
Yes. Okay. Need to not be in the same room.
We can put them on an island with a thermonuclear reactor.
It's like, until the last piece arrives, is there any way we can maybe take one of these back to study with us? We're willing to meet with whomever.
Yeah, he's like, alright, I'm gonna have to talk to somebody, but if you guys say it's that serious...
We need to wheel this one back outside that we took in here.
Alright, if you want to grab it now, let's go ahead and wheel it back to the loading dock. I'm gonna call my boss, and I'm gonna try and make some arrangements. Just give me a few minutes. So if you guys, whoever wants to, just you can roll back. Okay, so yeah, you bring it over to the loading dock area. I will say, at this point, you get a phone call. One of you, let's say it's Blake. Blake gets a phone call on his cell phone from Nina, and Nina says, "Hey guys, the Ghostbusters of New York, I got them on the line. I'm gonna transfer them over to you guys. So if you want to put it on speakerphone for everyone,
what are you assholes doing?"
So you put it on speakerphone, and he's just like, "Hey gentlemen, this is Dr. Stance from the New York Ghostbusters." He's like, "How you guys doing?"
We're rolling.
Okay.
Wyatt, I am rolling.
This is, Dr. Spangler and I have been going over some of the data that you sent us about this, it's cultural character and some of the findings that you guys have come across. It's not looking too good. What's the current status? Where are you guys now?
We exercised the big demon saying that it was the messenger
mm-hmm.
of some demon whose name he wouldn't tell us.
That's fairly common for demons, but yeah.
Right. Goes, but I mean, besides business as usual.
But currently, we're at this science center, and there are some artifacts from a dig in Mexico.
Ah, okay. He says, when we were doing our research up here, we did come across some more information about the dig, about the history of what's really going on. I'm gonna read off some of it to you now. As you may have already guessed from one of your contacts, Mr. Book, was it, from your notes? Mm-hmm. He says that this was like from a dig in Mexico. This rumored ancient city called Tlaloc, like it was said, it's kind of the Atlantis of the Aztec culture. It was a city that disappeared a long time ago. It was thought to just sort of be a legend. But this archaeologist team has dug up something, and they think that this is proof that the city actually existed. It was supposed to be the central hub of, like, it's one of the really, really big, great cities of its time. Apparently sometime in its history, though, this character called Itzcoatl was a ball player, like for the team. And they apparently, back in those days, they would play the team, like the ball game where you play through the hoop. Yeah. They'd be playing those games. These guys were apparently the best. He was the captain of his five-man team, including himself, his five-man team. They were apparently so good, they would beat other city-states in competition. They only would fight they would only play a game to the death. So whoever
lost would die.
Yeah. So that was like their thing. So they were kind of known for being a little edgy. But according to the legend, at one point, they were so loved by the people that the people thought that they were of godhood because they were so good. They were undefeated the entire time. The high priest and basically the king of the city-state, they didn't like that, and apparently they set up something where they were going to sacrifice him. They said that he cheated or something, so they sacrificed him and his teammates And for a reason that supposedly wasn't true, because as they were about to sacrifice him, they brought him up to a temple and they gutted him live in front of the entire town on an altar, cutting out his heart and every and entrails. And apparently before he died, he swore that he would get revenge and come back. A year later, on the equinox, apparently he did come back. He came back, supposedly killing the high priest, declared himself the new god of the underworld.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Did he stay or did like...
He stayed. He stuck around, and according to legend, he would feast on human sacrifices every day. We think that that might be a way that he was able to gain some psychokinetic power to stick around. He was able to bring the ball team back and act as his like guards that would go into town choosing human sacrifices to bring to him.
I think we know what's in that box.
So basically what ended up happening, this was in the early 1500s. Apparently Cortez arrived in the, you know, in the New World.
Bad news, yeah.
Yeah. When Cortez arrived, and this is part of, you know, the history of what happened. What's the guy's name here? Cortez...
Montezuma?
No. Yeah, Montezuma does come into play, but Cortez met with a friar. This can't be Geronimo, but it's spelled Geronimo de Aguilar. This was a real guy who was shipwrecked and lived among the natives and was able to learn the Aztec language before Cortez arrived. When Cortez arrived, he met with him, and this guy served as interpreter. When Cortez arrived, all the tribes thought, hey, save us from this madman who's killing people, you know, like, every day, because at this point, it had been a few years since Itzcoatl came back and the human sacrifices were piling up. It started to spread to other city-states. And they started invading other city-states and creating an army, and it got really out of control. Cortez thought this was an unholy thing from hell, so he declared war.
He's not very far off.
Yeah, he declared war on whatever this evil presence was. Cortez was actually, this, contrary to what history says, Cortez was actually able to go around the different city-states, convince them to all join forces and attack the city of Tlaloc. And apparently they must have succeeded because the city was wiped off the face of the planet. I mean, we had no records of it existing other than in legend. But this is where the legend gets extra interesting. Apparently, as they were defeating everyone, making their way up to Itzcoatl's temple, which another thing was after Itzcoatl was powerful, he was so powerful at this point. The old temple that he was sacrificed on top of, it had grown to be hundreds of feet tall, like full of ectoplasmic energy. This thing was just like a temple gateway to the underworld, where he would, after sacrificing and eating people, the souls he would be building up. He was trying to build up an army to basically take over the world. After Cortez came in with him and his men, they slaughtered everybody in this entire city. Just before they were able to kill Itzcoatl again, he swore that he would come back, but this time he would already have an army with him from everyone that he had consumed and everything, all the power that he had raised up. Apparently Cortez cut off his head, kept it in a lockbox, took his heart, put it in a lockbox, and after he was defeated, his guards had turned to stone. After this victory had been won, Montezuma wanted them to come into like where modern-day Mexico City is to celebrate. Celebrate them as heroes, as the God Slayers, basically. But when everything got in close proximity with each other, the entire population of Mexico City went nuts, and that's why they started a revolt. And after that, Cortez decided, hey, we gotta split up the pieces. And from what you guys are telling us about what you found, it sounds like these are the pieces. You gotta keep these things separate, because if our research says anything, if these pieces come together, we're in for a bad couple thousand years.
Can we blow it up?
Well, they say with things this powerful, we haven't seen anything this powerful in a very long time. With things this powerful, usually a proton beam isn't enough to destroy something like this.
Okay, let's get a nuke.
Dr. Stance is telling you, your priority is to, whatever you do, don't let all of these six pieces get together, because that's most likely going to open up either a transdimensional portal into the other world, or it's going to cause a resurrection. It's pure speculation at this point, but either way, it can't be good.
So we have five of the pieces in there.
You have five of the pieces.
The sixth one is coming in today.
And you guys know, the sixth one's coming in today.
Today, yeah.
they say this is so serious, Dr. Spangler and I, we're going to be on the first flight to Florida, and we should be there tomorrow.
Okay, let's hope that's soon enough.
Yeah. they say bringing a proton pack through security checkpoints at the airport isn't exactly it's not exactly an easy task.
Well, but didn't we have two extras here?
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, we got spares.
They want to bring more equipment than just backpacks. I mean, this is, you know, they're hoping you. Their stance is basically telling you guys they're hoping that you guys can just hold the fort down. When they can get here, they want to get here first thing tomorrow morning because they'll be able to clear all their stuff, because they basically work for the city now. So they get a lot more permissions than you guys do. But, you know, they want you guys to keep everything calm here, keep everything separated, and when they show up tomorrow, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Was there any word on the actual, like, the obsidian serpent, the definition of that, or...?
Yeah, obsidian serpent, the name, it's Kotal, is Aztec for obsidian serpent.
Oh, okay. So that's what this guy's name was.
Kotal
is serpent.
The curator of this museum, mm-hmm. can I get some quick info on him?
You want to talk to, like, Jay, because Jay's you want to talk to him. He's like,
tell me who he is. Tell me his name.
It's a woman. Her name is Layla Martinez.
Layla Martinez. Like, what's her background? Martinez, it sounds Mexican.
She's from Spain. She's the one, not the curator of the Science Center. She's basically in charge of this expedition and the exhibition for this.
We need this. We can't have the final piece in the same building.
Okay.
As this. Like, we...
Jay heard all of this. Okay. He's on board. He's just like...
Like, look, man,
he's already packing one of them into our car.
No, you guys have already moved that fifth piece out into the loading dock, and the four that are still in there, I mean, they're huge. I mean, they're solid, so he can't move by itself, but he's like, what do you guys need? You know, what do we need to do?
Like, I don't know what it's going to take. We need to keep this from happening at any cost. So, I don't know, man. We got to talk to your boss. We got to talk to the curator. We got to make some connections.
He's like, okay, I can call Mrs. Martinez. I can call Ms. Martinez and have her on the phone with you now. In the meantime, I'm gonna lock that fifth artifact. I'm gonna lock it away so no one can touch it. And I mean, it'll be on the loading dock because we have to keep it secure. But I'm gonna lock it away so that, like, I'll have a key, and if one of you wants another key, I can give one of you guys a key. In the meantime,
in case we need to make off with it like bandits in the middle of the night to prevent the apocalypse.
I'm not saying that, but here's a key.
just so we're on the same page.
He's like, okay, he's gonna go put that in the loading dock. He gives you the number for Mrs. Martinez. So if you want to call, I can do that. But Stance, so Dr. Stance is still on the phone. He's just like, is there anything else you guys want to tell us, or is there anything else that you guys need?
Equipment.
Yeah, like, more, do you have any, equipment. You said you don't think that a proton beam should be enough?
He's like, usually with things this bad, if it gets this bad, you don't just trap. Your proton packs will be tools enough, but it's not going to destroy something like this. I don't. If something this big gets out, I don't know how you can just capture it.
So what about obliterating?
That's the real question. I mean, we don't know.
If we overaccelerate the proton pack and cause it to blow up?
Yeah, we don't know, and there's no way of truly knowing.
All I'm saying is that a bunch of medieval people, 3,000 miles from home, with nothing but swords and armor, took down this guy. We got a little better equipment this time around.
He's like, I agree.
Dr.
Spangler's in the background. They weren't medieval exactly. They was this. He's like, it's like, all right, yeah. No, we get it.
He's had, well, 700 years to get.
Yeah, but we've got the four guys inside. He'll totally fight for us. Those knights will totally help.
It could, that the whatever Itzcoatl could be more powerful now, having time to gather.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Itzcoatl is not here. One of that lockbox, in fact, if you, now knowing a little bit more about the story, you can recognize, like, from when you're looking at the box from before, you think this was the chest that contained his heart.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
So that's
so his head is...
His head is on the way. The skull is on the way.
Head is on the way.
So, we're locking this up.
Yeah.
I guess one of us take the key. Who wants to call Martinez?
Yeah, so, okay, so Dr. Stance is just sort of like, all right, you guys just...
We'll see you tomorrow first thing at the...
Yeah, he said, we're gonna see you first thing in the morning. In fact, we should just meet you at the Science Center.
We'll see the start of the apocalypse.
Yeah, just keep things steady until then, please. All right, good luck. And he hangs up.
Unless we can.
Yeah, and you're gonna call Martinez?
Sure.
We need to bring
Martinez. So Jay, actually, he's gonna call. And he's gonna give you guys the phone so you can talk to her. He's just like, Miss Martinez, I got the mm-hmm. Ghostbusters here. They got some serious things to talk about. I'm gonna put them on the phone. I'm gonna put them on speakerphone. So he puts on speakerphone and he's gonna go lock up the stuff.
Okay, so we're gonna relay the history of Itzcoatl to her as far as we remember.
Well, you don't have to. As soon as you start, she just tells you, oh yeah, I know, I'm familiar with the legends. Because she was head of the expedition, and she's head of this the exhibition that will be on display.
The legends are fact. That six artifact you're shipping here cannot arrive. Like, we cannot have those all in the same room together.
She's
we
like
have proof.
She's like, okay, like, you know, she's skeptical, but she's just like,
I will blow it up.
How soon can you be here, sans artifact?
I can leave now and be there in maybe like 45 minutes. Like,
perfect.
Okay, yep. Like, what? She hangs up. So she comes. I'm actually gonna have to pull up her stats. But she's gonna be on her way. So yeah, Ms. Martinez, she shows up. She's like in her 30s. So she shows up. She's like, all right, what's up? What's the situation? You're telling me these legends from, you know.
We grab the videotape. We'll show her the Knights thing.
Yeah, she sees the Knights moving, and she's like, okay, it's kind of blowing my mind.
Can we show the security tape of what happened when we pulled the extra artifact in there?
There's no tape of that because that wasn't rolling on. But she it's not a stretch for her to believe you. So she's just like, okay, what are you telling me? You telling me that this is all that this is an end of the world scenario we got going on here?
Yes, precisely. Yeah,
absolutely. That's exactly what we've got going on here. We just proved to you one that the afterlife is real.
Which I'm already still trying to recover from that.
Two. That we're involved.
Yeah.
And I don't think now's the time to start doubting us on this.
So I'm not doubting, but you have to understand, I was at the dig. You know, with the exception of the last piece, these were all together already.
Where was the last piece?
The last piece was actually in Spain. And you know this ties in with the story because she can even tell you.
Yeah,
just because Cortez took the skull. I'll reiterate part of the history is that when, after Itzcoatl was supposedly defeated and the heart and skull were taken to what is now Mexico City, I can't pronounce the actual original name. Yes, thank you. When it was brought there, Montezuma and Cortez were actually, they were fine together. They actually kind of got along, but you would understand this as maybe the bad vibes of this thing, you know, kind of came in and took over the city. People started a riot. They wanted the Spaniards to leave. And eventually, as history happened, it was very violent.
And the Spaniards butchered them.
Well, yeah. Trying to escape, yes. The Spaniards butchered them trying to escape. At that point, Montezuma, you know, was just sort of like, he actually pleaded for them to let them go. He's like, please just let them go. And his own people turned against him. So it wasn't a good end. But the heart chest was able to stay behind. Cortez took the skull with him back to Spain, where it's been ever since.
I'm like, okay, we kind of need that to be as far from here as possible.
She's like, look, I believe that this might be pretty dangerous, but I'm not gonna bring it here, you know, and cause the end of the world. But I'm not gonna just dump it in the ocean either.
Can you just drop it off at the Louvre?
Like, it's like, you know, she's like, I don't know where it is right now, but it's supposed to arrive today. Now you're already keeping the one separate, and and you're telling me we need to keep the 6 months separate. How far away is far enough?
We don't know. Like, okay. Well, how about what can we take? What can we separate right now? Where can we?
What you want to take some of the
money? We want to move it as far away from here as possible.
You can try to take the heart lockbox. These other four statues, it took like a forklift just to move one of them. So we'll try and move them on our own time, but it's going to take a while. In the meantime, if you guys really want to take the lockbox, you can take it. But so what's the plan? You want to take this? Where are we going to take this?
Well, I guess the firehouse probably isn't far off.
Yeah.
The firehouse is like a good...
But, well, let's take it to the firehouse, and then, because by the time they get here, through the night, we'll have Dr. Stantz and Spangler tomorrow.
Yeah, to help us service stuff.
So if you want to take this thing, you want to study it, I'll allow that. We'll have them loaded up into your car. I can try to stay behind. In the meantime, I'm going to go down to the shipping company or whatever it is that we are shipping it from. I'm going to go talk to them and find out where it is and see if we can delay that. So I'm going to go do that now. You guys can take care of this lockbox. I'm already told everybody that you're allowed to take it, so you can load it up and do your own thing. Okay. So she's going to leave. Marshall comes in. He's just like, all right, so we're going to load this up. We're going to get this out of here.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I'll start filling out some paperwork and everything. In the meantime, you guys, if you want to wheel out the box to your car, you're welcome to that. You got the key, so go ahead. I'm gonna make some more phone calls, and we're just gonna try and keep this place locked down. We're not gonna let anybody in. So while you guys are about ready to load up the lockbox and everything like that, Nina calls on the phone again, and she's like, "Guys, did you felt That, right? Like the wave thing that came through a few minutes ago?
We did that.
Yeah.
That had our signature
just,
on.
Okay, half of Central Florida just called the Ghostbusters. Like, this, you know... Yeah, things are going kind of crazy out here, so what do you want me to do? I mean, are we shutting down for the day? Like, what
start
is this?
Montage.
Start the montage. She's like, look, I've just been telling them that you're out and that you'll come back, but like every 2 seconds I'm picking up the phone. I mean, should I just... Send the machine now? Like, what's the plan?
Say, can you make a machine message that says the Ghostbusters are very busy right now? Please leave your name and number. We'll call you back at our earliest.
She goes, okay. In that case, I'll just keep an eye on things here with Tobin. So, please come back soon. She sounds very worried. So she hangs up. So now, okay, fine. So you guys are ready to go. You guys are ready to take the box.
Okay, so we go back to...
Are you going to load up the car and everything and have to take it back? Okay, when you step outside, you know, you load up the lockbox and you're packing up and you're getting ready to go. Around, like, before you can get in your car and leave, 10 police cars with sirens, full blades, and just squealing up into there, and they surround. They come out, guns drawn, all at you guys, and they're ready to get down on the ground, remove your proton packs, and step away from you.
We comply. I don't want to get shot.
After you do that, it's like they sort of got shotguns and pistols and everything, and they just start cuffing you guys, putting your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. You guys are under arrest.
What for? What did we do?
You go, the Ghostbusters. The mayor asked us to put out a warrant for your arrest. You are under arrest for fraud, larceny, perjury, attempted extortion, and reckless endangerment and destruction of public property.
We have done maybe 3 of those things.
It's like, whatever you say can and will be used against you.
I was like,
in a court of law.
I don't even know what larceny is.
so they handcuff you guys, and they put you each in a separate car.
Can someone tow the Ecto-1 just somewhere?
Please, tow the Ecto-1 away. They're not listening to you guys.
It's parked in a handicap, so...
Please impound our car.
So it's like they put you all in separate cars. So they take you guys away, and they're gonna put you guys in a holding cell. And that's where I'm gonna leave it tonight.
The first time one of us gets a phone call, call Nina. Shit, call her cell. You know, call up the house and
call
Nina. Voicemail.
Shit, it's gonna be busy. It's like,
God, we should have brought Tobin, man. Tobin would have.
The Ghostbusters have been arrested. Please call back later.
Great. We're in jail, guys. Hey, we have got quite a list of character references. Tell me, are you the ghost of jealousy? The ghost of jealousy.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs at nerdyshow.com.
All Nerdy Show programs are listener-supported, so if you like what you hear, please consider clicking the support button and help keep the EPA off our backs.
You can also follow us or The Nerdy Show on iTunes, Facebook, or Tumblr.
We're ready to believe you!